17 before 5, talking beer on Message in the Bottle.
Oh, this is the greatest idea I've ever had. theme music for whatever. Oh, this is a song that, I think it's in the movie Basketball, which is a very underrated, not for work sort of movie, but with the creators of South Park.
Yes,
and they create this wonderful sport called Basketball, which is basically like horse, and then they yell, no, it's not like horse. But in their stadiums, they have like, you know, house bands and stuff, and Real Big Fish, that band right there, is like playing that.
And I have kind of a connection to Real Big Fish.
You have a connection to Real Big Fish.
Well, sort of, because their drummer, a guy named Ryland Steen, is now the drummer for America.
Oh.
And we saw them down in Portland a few weeks back, and he gave my wife his drumsticks.
Cool.
And now is following me on Instagram.
Well, yeah.
For some reason, but maybe because he sensed we were going to play one of their songs here on the program.
That's pretty funny. That's a huge shift in tone and tenor.
Yes.
And to be honest, having played in ska bands when I was in college and stuff like that, those horns do get deafening. So maybe a gig with America is a little more good for the middle age we're all enjoying so much right now. Mm. Oh my gosh. That's pretty cool. As Rich said, we're talking beer today. And also we're going to touch a little bit more about wine and then touch on beer. But yes, this is cooking with alcohol month. So I made a very quick and hasty beer bread in between periods of sitting down and trying to relax my back from spasming. Don't ever slip discs, by the way, folks. Highly, highly recommended that you try not to do this.
Good advice.
You don't recover in a day. Anyway, just saying. So we're going to be talking about, I whipped up this beer bread like I do pretty much every year and use a different beer for this. But the beer we're enjoying today, so that I do acknowledge it, these are my friends, the Sanborns. They're Rising Tide. They're based in southern Maine, as so many of our breweries are. But, of course, I just got the note that Gagan's is moving into southern Maine. So there's a lot of cross-pollination. But, yeah, this is Rising Tide Ishmael. So Ishmael is their copper ale. Absolutely one of my favorites.
Very good.
Malty, but not super malty. Not super hoppy, just crisp and refreshing, and it makes a heck of a easy beer bread because it's delicious. But again, so this month, as we talk about this, we're not talking about pairing so much, right? Pairing, we'll talk about it from time to time, but this is actually using alcohol as an ingredient. And talking a lot, especially when you're talking about like a beer to put in a bread or something, I would hesitate to use certain beers, especially with, you know, very hoppy profiles for something that's supposed to taste kind of, you know, bready. So things like that. I mean, flavor profile definitely matters in it, and certain beers, wines, everything can enhance certain things. I think could definitely change and perhaps not for the better. So just like any other ingredient, try to think of the outcome. Of course, when you reduce alcohol, you do concentrate the flavor as well. So think about, is this something that you're going to want, you know, very robustly, or is this something that you're going to want to kind of keep in the background. And of course, my normal admonishment, cook with what you'd drink. Except for recipes, you know, that call for expensive stuff that you wouldn't want to use due to cost. And so this is, once again, I'll point out that several California wine concerns took advantage of our fighting boys over in Europe as they were coming back after the major world wars, especially World War II. As America's economy was improving and everybody was kind of growing into this middle class and drinking wine because they were over in Europe and drinking it, a lot of California wineries certainly took names that are now legally protected and slapped them on bottles that had nothing to do with that sort of thing. So if you find, as I say, an old Betty Crocker recipe or something that calls for a Sauternes is a kind of a pricey Bordeaux sweet dessert wine. But some of those recipes might have just been calling for sort of a sweet table wine that was made by Petri or a bunch of other California wineries back then. So if you ever have a question, you're looking through, you know, maybe your grandma's cookbook or whatever, come on into a good wine shop and we'll say, okay, listen, this is the flavor profile they're going for. Here's a nice alternative that won't set you back a gazillion dollars. And feel free to drink something, you know, expensive if you can afford it and you want to do that. With it, because the pairing would be a natural sort of thing. I mean, we're enjoying the beer bread with the said beer right now. unless that's against federal regulations, in which case I don't know these people. But you know, so feel free to splurge on the bottle, but not necessarily what you're going to dump in the recipe or something like that. You know, if you want to, as I said last week, make beef bourguignon, we'll set you up with a nice inexpensive wine, and then you can drink, you know, a good bottle of Burgundy with it. So yeah, moving on to beer, obvious parallels to baking, similar ingredients, easily blends together into baked goods. I mean, the bread we're enjoying today, is very, very quick. You just, you know, sift some flour, baking powder, the beer, a little butter, some salt, sugar. It's real easy.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah. So don't ever think you can't do that. It's real easy. Beer itself is the third most popular beverage in the world after water, which is nice to know, and tea, which is intriguing to know. But I guess it kind of follows that tea basically flavored water, because the water wasn't tasting good. It is very, very, I mean, it's been around for a long time. It is in the Code of Hammurabi, the ancient Mesopotamian text. There's a early beer recipe. I don't have to tell you, it has become an important part of our local economy. So we're happy for the Code of Hammurabi for many reasons. Modern law systems, things like that, yeah. But beer.
But beer mostly.
Which sometimes correlates directly to modern law. Beer, brewed with cereals, right? So if wine fermented with grapes, brewed with cereal, you've got to have a sugar to ferment, right? So you need to release the starch in these cereals. For other stuff, you know, additives, they come in and out of fashion, right? I mean, right now there's a huge push for fruited beers, especially sour fruited beers, and sort of a way of kind of hearkening back to what old, you know, barrel fermented beers would have been like back in the day, when they would have thrown in their local fruits to flavor it and give it some interest and also some added sugar. But the basis, as put down by, of course, the Germans, because who else, in the Reinheitsgebot, which was their German purity law, and this is from a time when it wasn't just Germany, but the Germanic Empire stretched over a lot of the Holy Roman Empire back then. I don't believe it still exists. I'd have to check. But I'm pretty sure. But it required beer to be made only from water, hops, and barley. And it's still used in Germany. You'll see it if you come into the store. Any beer that's brewed from a reputable brewery, it'll even say, you know, Reinheitsgebot, and give the date, blah, 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 blah. It's a big deal to them. And that's important because, frankly, people can hide a lot of stuff in fermented beverages. And sometimes it's not for the best. You really kind of want to know what's in there. Case in point, people with celiac disease, you know, if you're having a beer, you want to know it's like gluten-free. Yeah. So then the brewing, you put the grain into a very hot solution, and it releases the starches. That's called wort, W-O-R-T. And then of course you can add hops, other preservatives, things like heather were used in Scotland, where they didn't have hops, but they're all natural preservatives. And that is, in essence, where the term India Pale Ale came from, is that they needed something to really preserve that beer on the long trips. Hops being a natural preservative, they threw a bunch in. Hey, you got an IPA. And now we've got millions of permutations, but that was where it came from. Beer, kind of interesting, gone from cans to bottles to cans. We're drinking really good beer out of a can now. When I started in this industry, that was laughable, unless you were familiar with Oscar Blues, one of the very first craft breweries to start putting things in cans. And indeed, Dale's Pale Ale was the first canned beer I ever sold that was not, you know, domestic beer. So really, really fascinating. And obviously, not only that, but in marketing terms, the artwork on some of these beers is just absolutely incredible. Some of it's very simple, some of it very busy, but really, really interesting. In fact, I think our friends down at Penobscot Bay Brewery just got awarded an advertising award for their redesign of their cans.
Oh, they've
switched
nice.
From their, what we call the bombers, the 22 ounces. So bully for them, Mike and Joan, well done. As I said, what we're drinking today is, and actually this is another sort of a trend I'll touch on really quick, is that beer has gone from, you know, when I was a kid, domestic beer was derided as domestic beer. And that's, you know, cool. But then the imported beer, such as my dad's choice, Beck's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, Heineken, of course. These were the classy beers because
Tuborg.
They were imported.
Remember Tuborg?
I do, and actually, that had a resurgence recently. That kind of came back. I think somebody bought that, I think Carlsberg or something, and bought that and relaunched it as a hipster beer. And that could be a whole segment in itself, the hipster beers. But what's really been interesting, and I think that this is directly related to something we talk about on this segment all the time, which is freshness. The fact that not only have things gone from bottles, which let in UV light and other things that kind of ruin the product, to cans, which don't, essentially they're mini kegs, you know, no UV penetration and stuff like that. But the idea of freshness has dominated the marketplace, driven no small part by Budweiser, which I think is really funny. Like, they needed something to cling to, and so they invented the born on date. You know, because you can't just say it was brewed on, it was born on. That's special. But it's an absolute, you know, direct correlation to the word fresh that I use all the time in wine speak, is you want your product fresh. And I think it's absolutely tremendous that now we have all these local breweries that get you the beer basically instantly. And the delivery systems are much the same. Now they're demanded by breweries, much the same as back in the day when we talked about Kermit Lynch scouring all over southern France. And the people said, I'm not going to sell to you. Why not? Because it's my product is special and it's never going to reach. He was in Berkeley, California, right? So Southern California, my product is never going to reach you in good condition. And I don't want people thinking that I make junk. Now brewers are doing this exact same thing. And it's really remarkable because it's 40 years later, you know, and it took them a while to kind of catch up to that. But all to our benefit. And certainly when you know, going to today's subject, use beer in a recipe, it behooves you to have it as fresh as an ingredient as anything else you'd use. Would you want flour with mites crawling in it? Would you want spoiled butter? No. So why would you want beer that was skunked? Sounds pretty awful to me. Anyway, these are just my thoughts. As we wrap up, I would invite you all to come to the store next Thursday, the 18th, from 5 to 7 p.m., you'll have a chance to meet our new employee, Nate.
Wow, that didn't take long. You were advertising.
He's a very nice. I'm absolutely 83 in my mind because I've been like, you're a nice young man. Reminds me of like Noah Wiley, you know, back when he was like and I'm just like, I'm 4 years older than you, but to me, you're young.
You're
so
a
well
fine
done.
Fine young man.
He hasn't been beaten about the head with. Right, you know, right. Children and stuff like that. God bless them. But yeah, so come meet him. Jillian will be moving on. So come say goodbye to her. We're going to be doing recipes. So we'll be having the Ishmael that we're having right now. We'll be having all the stuff that we talk about on this segment. And I will, as I always try to do, whip up some of the recipes that we talk about. That's always popular. Including the beer bread. So come on out for that. I usually make a couple loaves, so make it worth your while.
So that's so good.
Yeah. 5 to 7 p.m. next Thursday. Please do come out for that. And next week on this segment, we'll be talking about cooking with cider. Check that out for all you folks that A, like cider, B, have to have cider because other things bother you. And it's really tremendous. So I'll see you all here next week.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Bread was lovely. And the beer as well. Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Message in the bottle every week on Downtown.